God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to think that people just say that word so that people can respond. But as you grow in life, as you grow in the work of God, every day you begin to appreciate that, yes, God is indeed good. So when you open your mouth and say God is good, it's deep down in your heart to know that all after all you've been through, after all you've gone through, you can firmly proclaim that, yes, God is indeed good and is good all the time. So God is good and all the time God is, and that is his nature. Wow. Happy New Year to everybody. Bon année. How do you say it in Swahili?
Bon année.
Hey, no. Bon année. I'll take that one. Yeah. Happy New Year. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't want to come back. I did not want to come back because, as you always say, family is everything. And I think I'm going to block some of you people on my Facebook because you were watching everything I was doing, including Brother Mohindo. Block you all on my Facebook. I'm happy to be back. Yes, thank God for Johnny Massey's. It was fun going to see families and everything. But what I want to actually tell you is last year at this same time, I came here to tell you that I was going into seminary. And I'm back to tell you that it wasn't all a holiday and enjoyment, but I had to take four examinations. It was tough. It was hard. I didn't have any tuition. I had to struggle, but thanks to Sebeka, because I can boldly confess to you that most of the questions that I was asked in all those four examinations is something that you have given me to preach about.
Amen.
I think you should clap, no? So I wrote an exam, not answering questions, but actually preaching to whoever is going to mark my paper. I wrote the exam as if I was preaching, and one of the invigilators asked me, he said, "Are you having something?" I said, "Yes, I can feel the power of the Holy Spirit as I'm writing right now." So I don't know who's going to mark that exam. I leave it to the person or persons who's going to mark that exam. But I know, I believe, I'm certain that I will come back to testify that I passed. Thank you very much, and I hope we all have a prosperous 2022. It's not going to be easy, but with Christ in the vessel, we rest assured you will always smile at the storm. Amen.
Thank you very much. Welcome.
Morning, church. Happy New Year. My name is Harun Onunga, and I love the Lord. We'll be reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. I'll read. Do not remember the past events. Pay no attention to the things of old. Verse 19. Look, I am about to do something new. Even now, it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, says the Lord. I was reading this. The Lord was just ministering to me and just reminding me of 2021 for some time. And I know probably there are people in this place that 2021 was not all that you expected. Perhaps you had plans, goals that probably you did not meet. Perhaps there are things that did not work. And maybe there are things that indeed you started but you never accomplished. And the Lord begins here by saying, hey, 2021 is gone. Just forget about that for now. Don't remember about it. 2022 is here. And so the title of the sermon this morning is A New Dawn. Can you see it? A new dawn. 2022 is a new dawn. And I just love how the Lord ministers in the book of Isaiah. From verse number 15, the Lord makes an effort to build a case for himself. He says, I am the Lord, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. This is what the Lord says, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the surging waters, who brings out the chariot and horse and the army and the mighty one together. They lie down, they do not rise again, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. You know, the Lord makes it look as though it's an action-packed movie. He has done this before. Remember when the children of Israel were leaving Egypt and Pharaoh and his soldiers were just following him? The Lord just parted the Red Sea. And as the soldiers just came, he just destroyed them. And he reminds the children of Israel in this book that, hey, I have done this before. It's not the first time I'm doing this. And if you think the Lord parted just the Red Sea, he also made a way in River Jordan. So he says this not to excite the children of Israel. He says this to show you his reputation, to show you his character, that, hey, I'm able. I have done this before. And then when he gets to verse 15, he reminds us, but please, forget that for a moment. I'm about to do a new thing. Friends, God is about to do a new thing in 2022. And he's going to do a new thing in your life. And forgive me, let me just move around, because that's how I like it. And this is not a cliche, you know? The way William was saying, God is good all the time, and all the time, and he thought when he was a kid that guys used to say that so that you respond. Here also God says he's going to do a new thing. And it's not a cliche. It's not just a saying, I'm going to do a new thing. He poses the question, can you see it? That's the question. Can you see it? And that is the catch. Friends, I want to tell you, there's no way God is going to do a new thing if you're not involved in it. You have to participate. When he called Abraham and he promised him that he would have sons, he told him, look unto the sky. He had to see. Look at the sand. He had to see. When he called Joseph, and Joseph knew that he was going to rise in power, and at one point, his brothers would bow to him, he showed it to him in a dream. Can you see? And let me just provoke you for a moment. You know, the problem is not money. The problem is not money. And the problem is not even the war or wars in Congo or wherever. That is not the problem. The problem is not even our politicians. No, because friends, these things have been there. Let's look at Habakkuk. Kindly open the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 1. And listen to Habakkuk. Habakkuk pretty much sounds like us. This is what it says. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. Now, listen to Habakkuk, verse 2. How long, Lord, must I call for help, and you do not listen, or cry out to you about violence, and you do not save? Does he sound like us sometimes? He goes on. Why do you force me to look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Oppression and violence are right in front of me. Strife is ongoing and conflict escalates. This is why the law is ineffective. The law is ineffective and justice never emerges. The wicked restrict the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. That is Habakkuk. He's talking to God. He doesn't see anything that is worthwhile in this world. Things are just mayhem. And listen to what God and the way God answers him. God answers in verse 5 and says what? God says what? Look. Look at the nations. And then God emphasizes and observe. Be utterly astounded, for something is taking place in your days that you will not believe when you hear about it. Look. Habakkuk then develops a case before God. But in verse 2, he knows what to do. In chapter 2, he knows what to do. Habakkuk chapter 2, he says, I will stand guard. I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the lookout tower. I will watch and see what he will say to me and what I should reply about my complaint. The Lord answered me, write down this vision clearly, inscribe it on tablets so one may easily read it. It's all about looking. So God is only going to do a new thing in your life to the extent that you can see. It's not enough for someone to say 2022 you're going to be blessed. 2022 you're going to sow. 2022 you're going to get married. 2022 you're going. It is only to the extent that you can see. Have you ever wondered how Jesus performed his miracles and how he knew whom to heal? Have you ever wondered? Take for example, Jesus goes to the pool of Bethesda. There are so many cripples, so many lame people, but he only chooses one person to heal. He takes a guy who's 38 years, he has been there, seeking for someone to put him into the pool. Have you ever wondered, didn't Jesus notice all these people? Let's go to John chapter 5 and we'll read verse number 19. This is after he had healed this guy and there was a debate with the Pharisees. And this is what Jesus says. Then Jesus replied, I assure you, the Son is not able to do anything on his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son also does these things in the same way. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. And he will show him greater works than this, so that you will be amazed. It is only to the extent you can see. What of Ananias in the book of Acts, chapter 9? How did Ananias get to Paul, to heal Paul? Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, now in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias. He answered, here I am, Lord, he said. Get up, go to the street called Straight. The Lord said to him, to the house of Judas, and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, since he is praying there. Listen to what the Lord says on the other end. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and placing his hands on him so he may regain his sight. Can you see? What of Paul with his three missionary journeys? How would Paul know where to go and when? Acts chapter 16 and verse number 9. During the night, a vision appeared to Paul. A Macedonian man was standing and pleading with him, cross over to Macedonia and help us. After he had seen the vision, we immediately made efforts to set out to Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to evangelize. Probably you're thinking that these are just biblical personalities that could see. But friends, seeing is not a preserve of the few. Seeing is a promise that God gave us in the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28 to 32. The Lord says, after this, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons, your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will have dreams, and your young men will see visions. The same thing is echoed in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. It is only to the extent that you can see God working that you can achieve that which God desires for you. And perhaps you're thinking, I'm not able to see visions. Perhaps you're thinking, is this guy talking about dreams? The kind of seeing that the Lord is speaking about in Scripture is a different kind of seeing. Paul talks about it further in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. He says this, I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the glorious riches of his inheritance among the saints. The seeing that the Lord is talking about is the seeing with the eyes of our heart. You're not limited to that. Sometimes it could be through a dream. The Lord is warning you because he speaks to us through dreams. He may show you something that he intends to do in 2022 through a dream. Sometimes it could be even a warning. And sometimes it could be a vision, like Peter had a vision. And that is how he got to the house of Cornelius. But most of the time, it is through a conviction. Have you ever been somewhere and you felt uneasy? That is God ministering to you through the eyes of your heart. Have you ever been with someone and you felt, no, this is not the person I should be with? That is God speaking to you through the eyes of your heart. And little by little, as you yield to God ministering to you through the eyes of your heart, you will be able to see his purpose for you in 2022. May God bless you.